Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome to Sports Day. You just heard a lot of the results that have happened in the sport so far today. And for Polaris News Headlines, Polaris Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand, the news that Ben Cunnington has had surgery on testicular tumour, we do wish him a speedy recovery there. Liam Ryan left hammy. He'll be out for a couple of weeks, as you've heard as well. But it was a golden day this morning, and I know that Paul Hasleby's been right into the Olympic Games. He has been described as being causing a disturbance in his suburb. Apparently, this man was very loud and boisterous and all on his own and screaming at his television. Is that right, Paul?
It's true, mate. I was by myself and I was high-fiving myself around the lounge room and it was gold. I was like, you beauty, here we go. It was the girls, the cockless, coxless. I've done the Carl Langdon. The coxless four. And then straight after it was the men, and then, of course, Ariane Titmus, back-to-back 200 and the 400 metres, Olympic record as well. What a performance. And I was so excited. I was legitimately yelling out to myself, going, go, Aussie, go, Titmus. And she got the result. It was huge. And then the relay team kept going. Alex Graham, Cole Chalmers, Zach Inserti, the West Aussie, and Tommy Neal. He swam well. He had the last leg and really brought us home. Nearly got a second, but into third position. We had other bronze medals, and Jess Fox and Skye Nicholson unfortunately missed out from going through to the semi-finals. A bit upset, but we've just had the results of the Boomers come through. Just Paddy Mills wasn't the best. I didn't think he played his best game. Nick Kay, this guy is a star. We were privileged to have him at the Perth Wildcats. Every time he represents the country, he is huge. And Matisse Thybul, the other one that's been putting on a show. But another great day, one of our record days in Olympic history.
The emotion that comes out of the Olympic Games, though, is quite incredible. And you don't know how individuals are going to react. And, you know, we could go back to this morning when we saw for the second time Ariane Titmus get her second gold medal. And she broke down in tears when she got across to her coach. And the relationship that those two obviously have is very close, and I think I was listening to the parents talk and saying that well, he's probably spent more time with our daughter than what they actually had with all the training that she'd put in to achieve her dreams. And then we see Skye Nicholson, who fronts up after her devastating close loss. 29-28, 29-28, 30-27 was the judges' final scores, beaten in a decision by the great British girl Caris Artingstall, and it would have put her in with a medal. Probably almost certainly, because she was a world champion, Caris Artingstall. So, and then, you know, she comes out with all the emotion and said, well, I let everybody down, because she didn't actually win a medal and she came there to win a gold medal. It's just quite incredible, the stories that are coming out of the games. And there's a couple of others that I want to roll in tonight. And I'd be interested in what people have learnt over the years and the stories that have really touched them in 133-882, because there's a couple of unbelievable stories that I want to talk about tonight. That maybe people don't know about, because I've had the pleasure of doing some stuff today with different former Australian athletes, and we've just reflected a little bit, and it's got me thinking. So I want people to put their thinking caps on to some great stories that they can remember and the emotion, whether it good or bad, coming out of Olympic Games over the years.
I want people to tell me tonight about their own children. I'm trying to get my daughters into it. One's a little bit young, but one's age 10 and she loves her sport, so she's doing as much as she can. But I ask her when she goes to school, are they watching any Olympics in the classroom? Because when I was growing up, if there was an Aussie in action when it was possible, we would all watch that. But it doesn't seem like that is the case here in Australia. And I just wonder whether that next generation is loving the Olympics as much as I did, and all the other people that are enjoying this Olympics, because the build-up was tough, but since it started, it's actually been enormous, even without crowds.
Yeah, well, it was a good day on the water and in the water. We do continue to really shine in that area, and great to see some Western Australians earning their stripes. Annabelle McIntyre, she was in the women's coxless team. Hayes, the coxless team. Don't worry, I did exactly what you did in the preview with Ollie.
You put it in my mind. That's why I did it.
And then Zach Inserti, of course, he won his second bronze medal in the 200 metre relay team today. And WA's Jack Cleary was also part of the men's quad skulls. So they were able to also earn a bronze medal today. What has caught your attention? We'd love to hear from you on 133-882. Get Range of Confidence for the price of a quad. You can visit your local Polaris dealer today. To Gary in Bayswater, who joins us first tonight. G'day, Gaz.
How you going, Carl? How you been?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, good. I just, you know me, but I just want to give the waffle a plug.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Go for it.
I'm now state president of the Combined Pass Players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably the very first time we've done it, but next Wednesday night we're doing a combined quiz night at Leaderville at East Perth End.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that loves quiz nights, footy, sport, it's going to be a fun night. I'm doing all the questions on PowerPoint. I've got lots of prizes, including a NAIDOC football that the umpires are going to use in the country week, which never got going.
Mm-hmm.
And just a fun night, won't be a late night. And it's just the combined class players, their job is like promoting football. And we ran the Year 10 States Carnival last week.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that we do. We
so is there a cost for the quiz night?
And gave them.
Yes.
So $15 a person.
$15, yeah.
And
pay at the door.
If you don't bring a... Yeah, and if you don't have a table, just come along and we're making tables up on the night. And, you know, it's going to be a really fun night. And as I said, it's probably the first time I think we've done a combined one.
Yeah, okay. So give us the date again and where it is.
Thanks, mate. It's Wednesday, August, the 4th of August next week.
Yep.
And it's at Leaderville Oval at East Perth End.
Leaderville Oval
at East Perth End. Club rooms.
Righto, no worries. And tickets available
and
at the door.
Bring your own food, but there'll be bar there at the night.
All right, mate. Good on you. Thanks for calling through.
Thanks a lot. Keep up the great work.
Good on you, Gaz. Gary there in Bayswater. So State Pass Players Quiz Night, $15. Wednesday, 4th of August, Leaderville is where you need to head to. Lisa in Ellenbrook. G'day, Lise.
Hi, Carl. Hi, Hayes. Yeah, I've got a 10-year-old granddaughter that's right into Olympics. She's watching it all on TV. She's collecting the stickers from Woolies, and, yeah, she just loves it. So I told her to get it to start training for the next Olympics.
That's what I love to hear, because that's where it starts. That's where the spark comes for young people like myself. I didn't end up going to the Olympics, but certainly I loved all those events. I just wasn't good enough in those fields, but made my way to football. But I think it does just spark something. And even hearing it was Ariane Titmus today, just saying she was a country girl from Tasmania, and if I can do it, anybody can do it. And I'm so glad to hear that a lot of the young kids out there are enjoying it and getting into it, because I have my concerns.
Yeah, I get home from work, Hayes, and normally it's on Beauty and the Geek. So my daughter's...
So she's not interested?
Not really.
No,
she's not. But she's 15. I think teenagers are either all in or they're not in at all. And mine's not really in at all. Let's go to Steve in Watermans Bay. G'day, Steve.
Oh, yeah, that was classic. That was very funny. Owen Wright. I think that's one has to be one of the best stories of the Olympic Games. A bloke has come back, serious head injury, had to teach himself how to walk again, let alone surf, and he gets the bronze medal. I think all the young surfers around the world could look at that young bloke. And the way he spoke in his speech, you know, he was so proud of being an Australian. You just looked at him and went, mate, you've come back from hell, and you've pretty much nearly gone to heaven. Great job.
It typifies what Australian is meant to be, isn't it? I love that from the surfers yesterday. They were a team. It was, and there was disappointment from all of those other surfers. Steph Gilmore missed out. Sally missed out as well. They could have just gone, nah, I'm not happy. But they were around and they celebrated like they had won something. And it was a bronze medal. I don't think they could have celebrated any harder had they've got the Olympic medal, gold medal.
Well, they had obviously already orchestrated or set themselves up for a routine.
Yeah.
And obviously they were probably hoping that they would be able to do that repeatedly. But there was heartbreak with the others being knocked out. But they got their moment to get their little routine, and that's been obviously beamed around the world. So it was a nice little moment. Good on you, Steve. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, boys.
That's the sort of stuff we're talking about. So even though that is part of these Olympic Games, the emotion, the story that's behind the athletes, if there are some stories that have touched you over the years behind the athletes that you've seen achieve, whether they've gone on to win a medal or just make the Olympic Games, is something that we'd like to talk about. If you've had sons and daughters or if you've even competed yourself, you might have your own personal story you want to tell us about. 133 882. Greg in Adderdale joins us. G'day, Greg.
G'day, boys. How are you? Carl, I had to laugh. My daughters love Ireland. That is just sad, really.
Yeah, but you know what? My daughter watches Beauty and the Geek, mate, and then she goes on the device and watches Love Island. You know, like it just goes from one to the other.
Oh, we digress. It is sport, but I had to keep straight, chuckling on the way home. Mate, loving the Olympics. I want to talk about footy, but very quickly, anyone that gets a chance, everyone get around Brisbane. I did Sydney. Loved it that much that I actually made the effort to get to Beijing and see some events, but definitely Brisbane, lock it in. And you'll never get a better chance if you're an Australian. So all the listeners out there, lock it in, set a goal and do it. But I want to talk to you about Buddy Franklin and how I think we all agree, he's a bit of a protected species. I thought his behaviour on the weekend of the Dockers game was appalling. There was three separate incidents with Luke Ryan, which was the one that was probably got reported on, but I thought the other two ones was Nathan Wilson, which could have really caused some damage. And, of course, the last one that I'm filthy on is he should have got reported, and now we've got Alex Pearce out with concussion. And I thought it was that we were protecting the head.
Oh, mate, well, don't worry. We've got Wednesday wine on after the break, and one thing that I don't know whether you've heard winging your way home from work by the sounds of it, but they have outlawed boxing in the AFL. You are not allowed to spar with a teammate or, by the sounds of it, another person at this point. So you can hit pads and boxing bags and things like that, but boxing is now out the window, yet you can elbow a bloke in the head, you can deliberately sling him into the ground and get away with it. I mean, it's turning into an absolute farce.
But tell me otherwise, and you guys would have watched the game or you watched the replay, particularly the last one where Alex Pearce got taken off, got concussed. His only intent was to hurt Alex Pearce as much as he can. And I, you know, the story of Alex Pearce, and you talk about, you know, the courage and the setbacks he's had, I guess as a Docker supporter, you want to see him get through the rest of the season, but you just don't want that thuggery. There was absolutely no need for it. Once Fife had gone on, Sydney were always going to win. It was late in the game. It was just appalling.
All right, Greg, good on you. We get your feeling. If you'd like to call through, you can. Wednesday Wines kicked off early with Greg there. I tend to agree with him. Sullivan Logistics, your trusted storage and overnight freight expert. Sullivan Logistics, in it for the long haul. We'll take more of your calls after this. Neil Baum, not too far away, Tigers fans. Stay tuned for him. Charlie Thomas is going to join us tonight. West Coast's first pick, number three. She went out yesterday. Aaron Black, he's a beauty, leading the West Perth Football Club. Lovely. And we'll have a chat to Gary Thomas because I reckon he'd be on top of the world with the performance from a few of our WA golfers recently around the world. More coming your way after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive car of the year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
What was the score on the basketball?
We won by 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all you wrote down. That was the score.
3 points. That's all we needed. We're up by five. And,
what about Simone Biles,
late?
Mate? I was talking to Alana Slater today, and hopefully we'll get her on the program, maybe even tomorrow, because her insights into her sport have been incredible. And, you know, hearing her own personal story about, you know, starting as a little girl and basically toiling away for 17 years and mum footing the bill. You know, you talk about these great stories about the dedication that people put into their sport. Simone Biles came into these Olympic Games with the opportunity to win 6 gold medals. Now, unfortunately, last night in the team event, she pulled out and the team won silver in the end without her, and she became the leader of the cheer squad on the sidelines. I'm sure that you sat up and watched some of that last night, Hayes. I certainly did. And this afternoon, she's had to pull out of the all-around event, which she was the gold medal favourite for, and she's got some tricks that she does flying through the air that have been actually named after her, and she had a new one that she was going to unearth. Now, essentially, she has got herself, and this is how it was sort of described to me today, is that she's got herself mentally into a state where she feels disorientated, so flying through the air becomes increasingly difficult and bordering on very, very dangerous, where she can cause serious injury. So physically, while she's in physically good shape, even though she's got her ankle strapped, they were worried that it was her ankle. It's not the ankle. It's actually what's going on inside her at the moment. So, and I said to Alana, is it similar to vertigo? And she says it's not. It's very different and affects you in a different way. But at the moment, it looks like it's pretty serious, because for her to pull out of her pet event where she would absolutely shine, and we're missing one of the magic moments in Olympic competition to see the best in the world go at it.
Yeah, we are. It's not done for yet. She's still a chance to compete in the event next week, which is the all-round competition. But it goes to show how much pressure's on the athletes, but particularly this sport. They've had their challenges for a very long time. We've all heard those stories about how hard those girls were pushed with the American Olympic team, and no doubt all Olympic teams when it comes to the sport of gymnastics. And when you go in as a red-hot favourite on the back of what she did at the Rio Games, she's been dominant in that sport for so long, it does take its toll, and I think she's making the right decision. If she doesn't feel like she can execute 100%, then perhaps not putting herself at risk of injury is a smart thing. Get herself right, and hopefully she comes back next week.
What about the lady at 46 years of age that was in her 8th Olympic Games in the vault? Oksana Chusovitina is her name. Failed to qualify for the final at 46
That's
years of age, though.
For gymnastics.
Yeah.
You don't understand that for equestrian.
And she's had children as well, so she's become a mother through the process, right? But she has competed in 8 Olympic Games, and she has just competed in the most recent in the vault at 46 years of age. Now, if that isn't an unbelievable story. And the other one, just lastly, Hayes, out of stories, is Hidalyn Diaz, who is the 30-year-old now gold medalist from the Philippines, the first ever to come out of the Philippines. She was dead broke. She put a post on social media and said, look, I hate to be asking this. So the Philippine Sports Federation came forward and gave her...
This was going back a few years
ago? This is in 2019, yep. And she was aspiring to get to 2020. So she didn't have the money. So they came forward and put up 2 million pesos, which is just under 40 grand Aussie. That then had to help pay her through. And then, of course, they got postponed. So then what is she going to do? So then a private foundation donated another 1.5 million pesos. She was able to move her training base from Kuala Lumpur, which had been devastated because of COVID. She moved to Malacca. Infections climbed there. She was barely able to cover the cost of the weightlifting, the equipment, the rentals, the coaches, the nutritionists, the psychologist. And seeing the pictures of her hands today with all the calluses and the blisters after she achieved her dream in the weightlifting, 55 kilo division has won, and now the Philippine government have actually given her a house.
So do we have it wrong? Like, I think for our Olympic gold medalists, the individuals, they get $30,000 or around that mark. Should we be paying them a lot more, or because we've got more, it's obviously got to split the pie over there in the Philippines? They're unlikely to get another one, so maybe it's all gone to the one person. But I just feel with what some of our athletes earn, and I know it's all about revenue generated in those particular sports, but maybe we have it wrong.
All right, let's see what the people think. 133882, Mark Intrigue. G'day, Mark.
Yeah, g'day, lads. It's just it's all good stuff, isn't it? That story about the Philippines weightlifter, and there was another one yesterday, I think, a lady from Bermuda that won that country.
That was my favourite, the triathlon, the first ever. They had a bronze medal, and because you knew she was going to win from a long way out, it was very well called.
Yeah, it's just stories everywhere. It's fantastic. But just on what you were saying at the top of the show there, hey, my two kids are 7 and 4. So, 5 years ago, my young fellow was too young, really. So this is his first proper exposure to the Olympics, and he just can't get enough of it. If he had his way, the TV would have been on all weekend. And we try and limit the screen time a little bit, so he didn't quite get away with that. But Sunday morning, he goes, Daddy, can you take me to Karen Up Shops? I want to get a basketball, I want to get a tennis racket, and I want a stopwatch. So he loves it. He loves it, and so do I, actually. It's fantastic. Mate. And I think at that age, he's doing Auskick now, and stuff, but the exposure that they get to all sorts of different sports is just fantastic. And we don't realise how good we've got it here. You know, pick a sport and you can do it. Australia is a very, very lucky country in that regard. So, yeah, I love it. But just switching gears, a couple of footy things quickly. I haven't seen much waffle this year, and I noticed on the weekend that yours and my Lions, Carl, knocked off Hayes' Bulldogs.
Belting them.
Wonderful, and they're back on top of the ladder where they belong.
Yep.
So I've got two questions for you. The first one is... how is Subi going this year, and are they looking good for another premiership? And the second one is just back on Buddy Franklin. I thought that was a very solid elbow to only get a fine. So, welcome your thoughts on both of those things.
Well, given that they've outlawed boxing and then they let a player get away with what he did on the weekend, it's not just Buddy. There's been other acts that have been let off this year and been hit with a feather, in my view, and they're trying to limit the head contact. So that's the first thing I'll say. On Subiaco, look, one thing that Bo Wardman has done, and we spoke to him last week, I think it was, that he has really had to turn the wheel here. He's promoted some young players. Yes, he's brought in Brandon Matera, who he has probably got playing some of the most consistent footy that he's played for a while, and he made his mark on the weekend. But this is an evolving team. They lost some really good, long-serving stalwarts. Pretty much they were done, dusted, broken down, injured, old, but premiership players, and the new is coming through, Hayes.
Can they win it? Absolutely they can win it. They're on the top of the table, and they just beat South Fremantle, who beat Claremont just recently. But four teams can win it this year. It's one of the best years in the waffle that I can remember that I can't tell you who's the outright favourite right now. You've got Claremont, obviously, South Fremantle, Subiaco, and look out for West Perth. We're chatting to Aaron Black a bit later. They're going for seven on the trot, and they take on Subiaco this weekend, so we're going to learn a bit more.
I think one thing, though, that is still happening is that Kitchen and Sokol are still kicking regularly goals up forward. Brought. These players are so important to the makeup of the Subiaco Football Club. You've still got those old servants, and it's a little bit like West Perth when you see Nelson and the bloke that we're going to have a chat to, Aaron Black, because West Perth are going well because those names are consistently performing week in, week out, which always is good for your football team. Thanks, Mark, for your call. Tony and Sterling, good evening.
Hi, how are you going, guys? How many years has the Eagles coach got left on his contract? And I think their premiership windows, they've missed it. So should they start trading a few players to get a couple of first-round draft picks in? What do you think, Carl?
You tell me who they can trade for a first-round draft pick.
Andrew Gaff.
Andrew Gaff.
Liam Duggan.
Wouldn't get a first-rounder for Liam Duggan. Andrew Gaff at this age, he's just recommitted to the football club because he's under contract. Yeah, you could trade him, but look, I'm not sure someone would pay a first round for Andrew Gaff. Nat Nui.
Why would you pay a first rounder for Andrew Gaff?
Well, just he's 30 years of age.
Fremantle paid two first rounders for Jesse Hogan.
They mucked that up, didn't they?
Well, yeah, they
did. You know what I mean?
2024, Tony. The answer to your question, 2024 for Adam Simpson. He just signed a new contract extension pretty much at the start of the year.
And you'll get a first rounder for Nick Natanui.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I don't think they need to go that far, but they need to be really smart. There's some players that are maybe on the fringe that they could get rid of a couple, and I've got an article tomorrow talking about Waterman and also Jared Brander, who hasn't committed to the football club just yet. They want to try and get into the draft, but they just need to make sure the picks that they have this year in the draft, they nail. Their first-round pick, they have to nail. And if they get it right, I still think they're going to challenge up around the top four in the next few years. Maybe not winning premierships, but they'll be around the mark.
I think what's really important is that, look, it's trading and really sourcing what you need. Now, West Coast right now need a replacement for Nick Natanui because they really don't have someone who can match it with the best right now. Now, Bailey Williams is developing, but Nathan Vardy obviously has been pushed aside, so they're not going with him. So yeah, He's been pushed aside. They don't have anybody else outside of those individuals, and Nick Natanui, you know, whilst he's been very, very good, he's not going to be able to last forever. So they would be able to fill a hole, a little bit like the Hawks. They sort of go and pinch someone because they'd be able to. And I think that it's the same when I look at, and I know Judd left, but when Judd left, they got Marston and they got Kennedy. And Kennedy's become the greatest goal kicker at the football club. They got Yeo, you know. They pinched Redden. You know, Redden was a bloke that's not a West Australian. I think this is what's really important is that, is it, you know, do you have to keep on getting West Australians, bringing them back like Jamie Cripps, and I could keep going on, and I could do the same at Freo, or can they start to pinch a few others, which has been something that's been really hard for WA clubs to do. Let's clear a commitment because Neil Baum is going to join us on the other side. He's kicking back over there and still in Victoria, I think. He hasn't come out west. 133-882, it's been nice chatting to you. If you'd like to join in, you can. But Neil Baum will join us next.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive Car of the Year and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and nice to have Neil Baum on the program again. Baum, we've spoken a few times recently when it comes to the Tigers. I remember the Dreamtime chat that we had and what a marvellous game that was here in Western Australia. And then it wasn't long after that the West Coast Eagles took on the Richmond Football Club. This time it's the Freo Dockers. Really looking forward to it. How are you tracking these days?
Yeah, so I was really disappointed with our guys on the weekend because, I mean, the Brisbane game, you thought, well, how will we go? They're a damn good team, and we were just fantastic. And then, to be fair, I think Geelong played as well as anyone's played against us. They just took advantage of every stupid thing we did. Every mistake we made, they just took advantage of it. And the one goal we're supposed to kick became a goal that they kicked. There was a two for none. I don't think we were quite as bad as the scoreboard made us look. But having said that, we did make a lot of mistakes. But our second half was, you know, pretty committed. Our intent was quite good. It was just the execution. And some of that is just we got a lot of younger kids in. They're not quite as confident about what they're doing. And hopefully they'll take the opportunity this week and win a game for us. But it's a crazy season, isn't it? It's very hard to predict who's going to win, I reckon.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. But you were nowhere near as bad as Freo, who took on Geelong the week before you did. They got absolutely pulverised, mate, to put it politely. And so too, West Coast. Two games that I've had to endure watching the Cats. So they're a pretty good team, mate, and they're up the right end of the table right now. Freo, though, they've lost some soldiers. They've lost some experience with Pearce going out of the side with concussion, of course. Fife and Walters, two of their leaders. You're going to get them at a good time.
Yeah, I think, and we need it. We do need that little bit of an opportunity. Or to be fair, our intent's fantastic. The attitude of the players has been good. They still like what they're doing. We're just not playing as well as we should or as consistently as we should. Because, as I said, the Brisbane game, we were terrific and we really did well. But it's just a matter of knowledge. Jeff, the game's a bit harder to play now even than it was when you guys were playing, in that there's a lot more decision-making in it. And if you're not quite on and you're not quite committed and not quite disciplined, well, all of a sudden your game falls away pretty quickly, which is why you get, you know, the unusual results every now and again. But our blokes do know what to do, and I think if they discipline themselves and really work hard at it, I think we should be good enough to win.
Damien Hardwicks, he's made some different decisions in recent times. Matt Parker spent a fair bit of time through the midfield, but Rioli's been the big one. Into the back line, he's been terrific, just running straight, game played ahead of him. He looks like a natural.
Well, yeah, his work in the first half of the season, he wasn't quite engaged. I think there was a bit going on off the field with him, and which is always, you know, we know that's never quite as easy as it looks. So we really encouraged him to do some things. And part of it was, well, let's see if you can play back. And he played a couple of games in the lesser comp, and he played really well. I thought he was our best player by a mile last week, and because he did, he read it well, he defended well, but his offensive stuff was really important to us, which, as we know, if you've got a good half-back who can actually create some play, it gives you a real chance. So, yeah, he was very exciting. And as you said, Parks has been terrific as well. I've been really pleased with him.
You've got some injured players. You have had throughout the whole season, really. But Nathan Broad looks like he's a test, and also Dion Prestia. Are they likely to come in for this one?
They're pretty confident that Dion will get up. He played in a sort of a scratch matchy thing on the weekend over here. So he played nearly half a game and ran well. And I think he'd be virtually a certainty, I would think he would be. And Broadie's saying he is and is really keen to play and is not that far off, but it's just a matter of making the decision with him, whether he's had enough match practice, et cetera, is the decision that the coaches will make with him, with his input. But I think he's pretty keen to play, so he'd be at least 50-50, I'd reckon. But I think Dion would be nearly a certainty, I'd say.
The last couple of weeks, I've been really impressed by Jack Riewoldt. He's been around for a long time, but to make it to 300 games, to have the impact that he did in his 300th game, booting half a dozen goals, and then even last week, mate, where he was really fighting right to the end. I mean, he's showing some really good leadership. I know he's in the twilight of his career, but you'd have to be pretty happy with the way he's going at the moment.
Yeah, he's not one of those flash tall forwards anymore. He's a good, he really does contribute well. He actually knows how much what he does impacts the other team. So his leadership stuff's been outstanding. So, I mean, you can just keep maturing as you go. And we all know, you know, you've got to look after yourself to get a game, but the best players are the ones who really think team first, and that's exactly what he's doing at the minute. So he's been really important for us.
Every week we hear about Adam Chera, that Richmond's interested, that Hawthorn might be interested, Essendon and also Carlton. What about Shay Bolton? Are you confident that he will sign with your club? Because our clubs, they would love to have him come back home as well.
Do a swap, Barmy. Maybe a swap. Chera for Bolton. What do you reckon?
Oh, I'm pretty sure we've got 99.5% of the way down the track with Shay. I'm pretty sure he'll sign with us. He wants to stay, and we're pretty sure he will. I mean, it's you know, when they play like he does, they probably can demand a bit of extra dough, and we've only got a certain amount of money to spend. So sometimes it, you know, it does take a bit of a while to get it done. But we're pretty confident that he will sign. And I don't know what we'll do from the point of view of being able to get players, other players. We do like a lot of players, and Chera's one of them, but I'm not quite sure what we're going to do there.
Hey, Barmy, dynasties don't last forever. You know that. You've been around for a long time. Do you believe that this group's got more in it? And if so, the decision-making at the end of the year obviously becomes paramount to either keep going or look to go in a slightly different way.
Yeah, it's a real challenge, and it's almost too subjective to even make those decisions. But we every time we play, I reckon we're going to win because we do prepare well, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm probably a little bit too not objective enough to really know. And that's the hard thing. You've got to be that hard ass way. Otherwise, you're not going to make the right decisions. But I think we've still got a fair bit left in us. But then when you see how we played last week, and then you realise that, well, there's probably six or seven of our better players not playing. If we get them all back in place, well, I think we're still in a pretty good place. But again, I mean, we've got to go through that process still. Right now, we're just playing for week after week, which is we need to do. The only thing that matters to us at the minute is actually playing for our, making sure we win to give ourselves a chance to have a meaningful 2021. And then we'll worry about the other stuff later.
One of those players is Dustin Martin. It must have been pretty serious. He's out of hospital, isn't he? But yet to return to Melbourne.
Oh, well, there was no point of him coming back because we're in lockdown here and the boys all went to Perth. So if I were him, I would have been staying in Queensland as well. But look, he's fine. He's going to be 100% when he recovers completely. There was an injury to his kidney, which they've just got to let repair itself. And to do that, it means that he can't play for the rest of the year, which he hates, obviously, and we do as well. But at least we do know that he'll be 100% when he gets back into it. Now, I think he'll be back in town probably next week, I think, and we'll see him, because we want him to be around to help the guys and help them prepare as well, but I'm pretty sure we'll see him next week.
Barmy, you know the AFL landscape and the MCG landscape. The government over there came out and said no crowds for the next 2 weeks. Do you think there's any chance that this grand final could be played outside of Victoria once again?
Well, I certainly know that the AFL are considering their options because they need to, you know, because you never know. The problem is you just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. All of a sudden, if something crazy happens in Melbourne, well, there's every chance that it won't happen. But I think they're getting on top of it. I'm pretty sure it will be here. But again, I wouldn't put my house on it yet. Anything can happen.
Yeah, one COVID case. All of a sudden, things get thrown into chaos, mate. We know what that's like, unfortunately, for everybody, but we've done well to get this far. Now, Barmy, a significant change at AFL clubs today with boxing being outlawed. There's no one-on-one sparring with two players, even with headgear. I don't know if that will extend to trainers. So often clubs have had boxing trainers. You and I, and I know Paul Hazelby, have certainly worked in that environment over the years. How will that change things, and what do you think of it?
Well, I can't believe that. I mean, the problem we've got, if we want to cut any concussions or head clashes out of the game, there's only one way to do that, and that's not to play. So I reckon whatever we do is not going to work. I mean, because it is, it's a hard game. We have to put ourselves at risk. And to not box, it just, well, again, they didn't ask me, but it makes no sense to me whatsoever, I must admit. But again, I'm a bit old-fashioned, I think.
Oh, no. Look, I started on the same thing. Yeah, it does seem crazy. I mean, we're watching young girls just fight for our country. Unfortunately, here, Skye Nicholson was beaten today in a decision by the great British girl. But, you know, we've got young girls who are into the sport of boxing. It seems, highly unusual, but it's something that we're going to have to deal with by the looks of it, unless we all start jumping up and down. Thanks for your time tonight. We appreciate it. Take care, and we will have a chat to you again soon. See you, Barmy.
I'd love to. Yeah, great talking to you, boys.
Neil Baum, senior advisor at the Richmond Football Club. He's been doing a great job. And the Tigers, well, they're not done with yet. And they are headed west to take on the Freo Dockers. And let's hope that the Freo Dockers can put up a little bit better performance than what they gave last time at home against Geelong. We will clear a commitment. On the other side, your calls. What do you reckon on the back of that boxing? I know we've taken some calls earlier, but if you'd like to call through, you can. 133-882 is the number. Wednesday wine night. Get involved. For Sullivan Logistics, 3 votes. For storage and overnight freight, they never say no. Gee, I tell you what, too much talking tonight, Hayes. We're fast running out of time. Olympic Games sports continue to unfold. Our Aussie men were successful over Italy by 3 points tonight in the basketball. I haven't really seen a hell of a lot of the other sport going on. Nice to chat to Barmy, though. He's sounding upbeat and a little bit buoyant about Richmond's chances with a few blokes that are going to be coming back, even though they've lost Dusty for the rest of the season, Hayes.
Yeah, it should be a good game against the Fremantle Dockers, but I think they will get through Richmond in that one, and they've got a good run going towards the finals. So they're a good chance. The Hockey Roos, when I last saw the score, they were 1-0 up against Japan. Emma McKeon, she's been in the pool again. Olympic record in the heat, Carl. So she goes through, as does Kate Campbell, who also won her heat. So that's great news. And Ash Barty, Storm Sanders, they were out of the doubles today, but then she quickly backed up Ash Barty into the mixed doubles with John Peers, and they were through to the quarters. They've been whinging a bit, the tennis players, about the heat over there. I'm not sure I like tennis in the Olympics if they're going to whinge about that. Like, toughen up. And this has come from Novak Djokovic and some of the others that, you know, they're just, these guys are pampered all day, every day throughout the year. And
earning millions.
They just shouldn't be doing it. Earning millions.
Yeah.
Taking the spotlight away from the real heroes that we're seeing throughout these Olympics.
Yeah, no, I've said it before. Any stories that you've got, it's a Wednesday wine. If you'd like to have one of those, you certainly can throughout the course of the next few minutes. Craig in Canning Vale joins us on the open line, 133882. G'day, Craig.
G'day, boys. My wine for tonight is just the AFL umpires. I mean, need I say more, but I will go on. I think a lot of the decisions we're talking about with Buddy Franklin and all that sort of stuff, for mine, with the pace of the game nowadays and the length of kick of some of these guys, I don't think the umpires can keep up. So they tend to umpire in a zone across the field, and you see the players' reactions nowadays. They're absolutely ropeable that the umpire didn't see the hold or the spoil and stuff like that. And you quite often hear the umpire say, oh, look, sorry, mate, from the angle I was on, I couldn't see it, so I'm just going to have to bounce the ball. So if they can't keep up with three, then we need four so that someone can be right on that Buddy incident and see exactly what happens. What's your opinion on that?
I would say that's always happened. There's always been decisions that haven't been paid by the umpires because they haven't had the correct line of sight. They did trial it for a while, Carl, didn't they, the four umpires?
Well, we spoke to Brett Roseberry the other day, and there's three of them all on different angles. And look, they're always going to, unfortunately, with so many players around the footy, Craig, I'd hate to be an AFL umpire. And given how much change there's been in the game as well, and all of these little tinkerings, or what do they call them, game adjustments, Craig, that they've had to endure over the last few years, it drives me mad, mate. I'm not going to sit here and start to bang into the umpires because, mate, I reckon they do a damn good job given the challenging circumstances that they're faced with. And it's not their fault that Lance Franklin got off the other day, because he actually got reported and picked up by the MRP, got put rightly so before he got given a penalty of a week, and then he goes to the tribunal, which is fronted up by three former players, and he gets away with it.
Have you put your resume in yet, Carl?
For
that job that's available.
What, the umpire's job or the...
No, the head of football job.
Oh, the head of football job.
Yeah, well, so you can be in charge of those game adjustments.
The game would go... Well, Craig and you and everybody else would understand the game that I'd introduce, because there'd be a few things that these spoiled brats that get wrapped up in cotton wool wouldn't like. And then the sports scientists would all go mad because they'd half of them be out of a job. But anyway, let's not go down that path. But you can keep challenging those that are making the decisions. That's what you need people to do. It's a bit like politics, mate. You've got to make sure that you keep people on their toes when we don't think they're doing the right thing. Thanks, Craig. I'm not going to pick on the umpires. I want to try and look after them. I want more people to go into umpiring because that's the way we make it better. It's 5-7. Let's clear a commitment. Back, tell you what's coming up after the 7 o'clock news next.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive car of the year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Okay, better turn the mic on. We are a minute away from the 7 o'clock news. There is plenty of sport continuing at the Olympic Games. We can also report that Ben Cunnington has had some surgery. There was a testicular tumour discovered earlier this week. They've taken a really swift time to get to work to help him heal both mentally and physically, and he's been asked for some personal time, and there's no doubt that he will get that. No boxing in the AFL anymore, so you're not allowed to do that. And the Giants have defeated the Vixens tonight 54-45, and not that was unexpected, so still important for our West Coast fever as they look forward to some more action, a couple of games to go before they finish off their season. After the news that's coming up next, we'll come back, we'll get into more sport, we'll update what else has happened around the traps. Charlie Thomas from the West Coast Eagles, their number one pick, will join us. Aaron Black, the captain of West Perth, and Gary Thomas from Golf WA will join us as well.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive car of the year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
G time flies, 7 after 7. Our number is 133-882. Spud Shed. Download the free Spud Shed app. You can sign up and start saving a spud load. The savings are amazing. Let's update some sport, Hayes. Gotta love your local, gotta love the Bottle-O. A little bit of a montage of what has taken place today. I know that there's been some that has been rolling around in the news, but it started nice and early this morning. Hayes was high-fiving himself this morning when Erin Titmus won her second Olympic medal and broke down in tears, which is where we started talking about the emotion of sport. If you've got a story that you'd like to tell us in the next few minutes, we'd be happy to oblige on 133-882.
Then there was the gold medals in the rowing, both the men and the women. We also had bronze in the 200-metre relay with Cole Chalmers and Zach Inserti and Tommy Neal, and Alex Graham was a part of that. We had some other medals in the canoeing as well. Jess Fox, she qualified 5th fastest to go forward towards the semi-finals as well. Unfortunately for Skye Nicholson, she couldn't get it done, beaten and lost just before in the quarterfinals, so didn't go through to the medal matches. That's unfortunate. The Boomers, they got up by 3 against Italy. The Hockeyroos have just defeated Japan 1-0, and currently we're watching Australia, the Hockeyroos, take on Egypt. Yep. If they win this one, they progress as well.
Yeah, let's hope they get through there. And Matisse Thybulle, I mean, he was unbelievable. Everyone was talking about Paddy Mills and him being one of the best players tonight. I tell you what, Thybulle was so important tonight for our basketball team. He really played a strong hand.
And Nick Kaye.
And Nick Kaye. Well, I know that you were impressed with him.
I didn't think Paddy played that well. He actually was missing a lot.
Yeah, I'm in the same of the same view. If you tuned in and had a look at that, let us know. Great range, friendly service, independently owned by the locals. Gotta love your local. Gotta love the Bottle-O. Before we go back to the phones, this one from Don that he sent me through, sport@6pr.com.au, says, my question is, kicking in danger rule, has it vanished or does it only apply to some teams? Not Sydney, obviously. I'm amazed that the Fife incident that blatantly finished his season was not awarded a free kick. Can you comment on this, please, guys? Great show.
No, I didn't think there was enough force in that one. I don't think that was responsible for the shoulder injury.
It was the guy behind that pushed his shoulder forward. So you had one action coming back and the other one coming forward. I mean, it was just really unfortunate for Fivey.
But you are right. It sometimes is paid when there's enough force, but there's a lot that that go through to the keeper.
All right, let's go to the phones. Bill is in Tapping. Good evening to you, Bill.
G'day, how are you?
Good, mate.
Yeah, with the the draws they have in the AFL,
mm-hmm.
you know, the drawn games, like, yeah. you know, that one week and a half ago with North.
You want overtime or something, do you? Playing, yeah.
Sorry?
You want overtime or golden goal or something? Penalties. Do you want penalty shootout? Well,
no, I reckon, I thought they were trying to sort it out a couple of years ago. I don't know whether it was last year or the year before, I can't remember.
Only grand final.
Yeah, with the time on.
No, only grand finals. So that we didn't have the repeat of what happened in 2010 when I went on holidays and didn't go back and call the second grand final, Collingwood and St Kilda. So they changed it from that moment forward. So much more difficult to reschedule a grand final. But,
I'd be happy to keep going.
Would you?
Yep.
What, you want a result?
Yep.
No. Why? Why does it affect? If you're not good enough to win, split the points. And then it adds a little bit more intrigue to the qualifying rounds. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, obviously it's worked for a long time, but...
What's not broken?
Well, you want to go to a three-time grand final series.
It's not broken. Yeah, but hang on. The only reason I want that is because I want to get rid of some mediocre teams down the bottom. That's the only reason. So I want more cream. I want to see the cream play more often. Which is that's my view. That's okay.
I just think it adds to the entertainment. To keep on going, you've got, the thrill and the excitement of what happens in that period of time. To go with what happens to get to the end of the game, of course, that's a big thrill at times.
You can't tell me that 3 grand finals wouldn't work. I mean, if the first one was at the MCG, for example, that one Collingwood and West Coast back in 2018 when Collingwood were 5 goals in front, West Coast fought back, win. Then the next game, who finished on top? Who finished higher up that year?
Of course it would work. It'd be fantastic, but it's just not what we've done in the past. It's a radical change to what we've done in the past. If we always had 3 grand finals, then it would be no big issue, would it? But clearly having more games between the best sides would, again, add to the entertainment factor. And I think at the end of the day, sport is entertainment for people to watch. I think it adds to that.
Yeah. Pete in High Wycombe. Evening, Pete.
G'day, Carl. G'day, Hayes. How are you going?
Good.
That just to talk about the boxing, the AFL.
I think it's ridiculous that you're trying to cut it out, because I think it's one of the best things to enhance your guys' reflexes, sharpness around everything, and just, you know, prepare just for a hit and that sort of stuff. Like I've seen blokes, Carl, this is one bloke you played against, Dennis Banks. He was on his father Connywood, and he was Jeff Fenwick. So I'm in a gym in Melbourne one time. He said he could be the light heavyweight champion of Australia. He was so sharp and so quick. And I've also seen in action Terry Danaher on the speedball, and he's just unbelievable. Just the sharpness of that. And it just shows you when those guys, you know, get the reaction time that they do from the boxing training and that sort of stuff. It's really worthwhile, I think, to sort of enhances their football game. And the other one I was going to say about was the fellow I mentioned to you last week, that Clyde Sefton, the cycling Olympian. He was a boxing champion as well, and he just reflected on the fact that I spoke to him at the weekend, and he reflected on the fact that, you know, you get that one chance to go, and you've got to be spot on and be able to reflect to that, you know. And I don't know, you know, Laurie Sewell down at Fremantle was, South Fremantle was a sensational trainer, and you had both like Rioli, Morris, I'm talking about.
Golden gloves.
There's no, I think it still should be there, just for the reaction sort of time that you guys need to have when you're getting attacked. That's a bad choice of words.
Yeah, spot on. Well, we had this conversation off air prior to coming on, and look, I went through the stage where I did a lot of boxing throughout my career, and I wasn't that good at the start, and there was many times that I had to front up, and I remember Des Headland and also Paul Medhurst and Anthony Grover had a longer reach than me, and I would get a blood nose every time I'd go in there. So I didn't love it at the time, but it does help those guys that are a bit timid going into the ring. They improve, they get confidence, they get sharpness, they get movement that comes with that. And I was concussed too. It was the only time I was concussed in a game of footy was Mark Harvey put us in the ring after we got smashed and we all had to fight. The problem was it was unsupervised and you had the big crowd around. And what happens when you get 20 guys cheering on two guys in the ring, you get haymakers, don't you? Because everybody wants to be the hero, and that's what happened. Greg Broughton got me on the chin, down I went, and all went black, and then came back up, and I wasn't myself for a period of time after that. So I've got no issue with it. I just think it needs to be supervised better, and that's what the AFL should have done. Just don't get that scenario where you have blokes going too hard at one another, unsupervised.
Yeah, exactly. Good on you. Thanks for your call again, Pete. Great to have your company on the program. Thank you to everyone that's called through so far tonight. You can continue to do that at 133-8-82. That's our number. Australia and Egypt in action at the moment in the football, and there's plenty of other sport that is going to unfold throughout the course of the evening, so keep on enjoying the Olympic Games. One thing I'm going to enjoy talking to is a new West Coast Eagles player has been recruited to the West Coast Eagles through the AFLW draft. That was yesterday. Her name is Charlie Thomas. She will join us next, followed by Aaron Black from West Perth.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive car of the year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Well, last night we got inside the Freo Dockers and had a chat to Amy Franklin, their number one pick. And tonight we're going to get inside the West Coast Eagles on the back of 10 of our young Western Australian women being taken in the AFLW draft yesterday, all taken by West Coast and Fremantle, of course, Paul Hazelby. But the number one, who was pick three, is Charlie Thomas out of the Subiaco Football Club. I tell you what, that's a damn good football club, Paul Hazelby. What a breeding ground that's been over the years. You can hear her chuckling in the background. Charlie Thomas joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Charlie. How are you going?
Hey, everyone. Yeah, really good. Really looking forward to getting into things. Feeling a bit overwhelmed and nervous, but yeah.
Were you a bit surprised going into it? Because you haven't played much this year. You've been out injured for the most part.
Yeah, 100% wasn't expecting to go as early as I got picked up, which is really cool. But, yeah, pretty unexpected and, yeah.
At your age, Charlie, I had glandular fever. That's called a kissing disease at that particular time. Now, I'm looking at your pick here, and you've got, even on your profile pick and West Coast tweet and all on the social media, you've already got your arm already strapped up your elbow. Is that like that at the moment or not?
No.
Thankfully.
That's from quite a while ago. So, yeah, thankfully I'm out of that big, heavy, long cast. So, I'm feeling a lot better.
So what was wrong? What has been wrong? Hayes has obviously spoken about the injuries, but what have you had up to this point?
So in round one, I broke my arm in the last quarter and then was getting back to everything, it was taking a little bit longer than everyone sort of expected, just some little setbacks along the way. And then I was getting ready to play again, obviously, at training, and got an unlucky hit right on the spot, which, yeah, sort of re-cracked just a tiny little bit of it. So sort of back to square one, but certainly on the road to almost being ready, which is really exciting. Can't wait to get back into it.
Fantastic. Righto, take us back right to the start. Where did it all start out for you with your aspirations to, well, I suppose this didn't exist when you were a very little girl. It does now with the dream of being able to play at the highest level. But where'd you start?
Yeah, so I have an older brother who probably was just kicking the footy in the backyard with dad, and probably just wanted to annoy him and get involved with him, and then started Auskick down at Crean Junior Football Club. Then I stopped for 2 years to play hockey because obviously there wasn't really much for women's footy at that stage. But then got into JSR High School, and some of the teachers just pushed me and was like, oh, why don't you give it another go? I was like, yeah, sure, like, I love it. So got back into it, and then obviously went to Subi, played youth girls there, and yeah, I was lucky enough to play league as well.
And you got to the West Coast Eagles, a club that your family supports. I understand they're big supporters. That must have been nice too.
Yeah, definitely was heaps nice actually. Yeah, it's been awesome. Yeah, very good club. From what I've heard so far and experienced, all the girls are really, really nice and gotten around me. Really looking forward to getting into it.
We're seeing a lot of raw emotion, obviously, with the Olympics, but explain your emotion. When your name was called out, did you have a group of friends and your family around you? What was that initial 30 seconds like?
Yeah, just really keen sort of to get started, and a bit overwhelming, like, with all the support that I received. Like, I was really taken back by everyone's support and everything. So it was just really amazing. Yeah, it was just an amazing feeling, and just so exciting, to be honest, and yeah, overwhelming with all the support, like I said before.
Now, I text one of the Subiaco AFLW experts, Martine, fantastic she is, and she said that she has a great leap,
yep,
takes a good mark, but her strength is her left foot, long kick as well.
Oh,
so does that sum you up pretty well?
Yeah, oh, I'm a right footer, but that sums me up pretty well.
Now, when it comes to actually kicking goals, are you any good at kicking goals? One thing I don't know if you've noticed with AFL players, both men and women at the moment, they're struggling to kick goals.
Yeah, obviously get a little bit nervous in front of goals when it's a set shot. But, I don't think I'm too bad. But definitely will look to work on that, obviously. You can never be perfect at it. So, I'm not too bad, though. Not too bad.
Charlie, what's the process from here? I know that you've been at the football club today. You're front of the media and an all-in. That can be pretty daunting, having cameras shoved in your face. But you've gotten through all of that, I'm sure. And it's, I hope, a little bit easier talking to us on the telephone, on radio, like having a conversation with one of your friends, hopefully. But, you know, what's the program going forward from this moment now?
So I think just sort of meet the girls in the next week or so and get to know them, and then hopefully do a couple medical things and then get into the academy, and then pre-season will start a little bit later, and then, yeah, be right into it for the start of the season. So,
How many of the other girls are you familiar with? Courtney Rowley, Beth Schilling coming to the West Coast Eagles, Sarah Lackey, and also Emily Bennett. Do you know any of them?
Yeah, I've played a bit of footy with all of them, to be fair, down at sort of State Academy, and went to Melbourne with them all, which was really good, and they're really lovely girls and we get along really well. So, yeah, couldn't be more happy with who I'll be going through this with.
Good on you. Well, thank you very much for sparing a few minutes with us tonight, and all the best, okay?
No, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate the support.
Good on you. Charlie Thomas, one of five girls going to the West Coast Eagles and five more headed to the Freo Dockers. We spoke to their leading pick last night in Amy Franklin, but she'll be joined down at the Freo Dockers by Dana East from Swan Districts. Also, Michaela Tuakara Arena.
Yeah, I struggled with that one last time.
Tuakara Arena, I reckon, is how we're going to be able to call that one. Gee, I'll tell you what, that's going to be a tongue twister for the commentators. Jessica Lowe and Sarah Wiestra are also heading to the Freo Dockers.
They also picked up Ellie Runnels. She was from Victoria. So that's an interesting one that she obviously saw some interest from Freo, and they asked her if she was willing to move over to WA, and the answer was yes, and they picked her up. So good luck to Ellie.
Why not? Get out of lockdown. That's what I reckon. Be a good idea. Could be a good pitch for both of our clubs at the moment, Hayes. Although they are in lockdown, the Freo Dockers, and West Coast are going to be in a not-too-distant future. We need to clear a commitment on the other side. We'll keep the West Coast football theme going. It's going to be, though, with the WAFL, all of the local waffle footy is going to be underway this weekend, and Aaron Black is going to be leading the West Perth Football Club into action. He's their captain. He will join us next.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive car of the year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Let's get into our waffle update. The Kia Sorento, the drive car of the year. And great to have Aaron Black on the program. He's the West Perth skipper, and isn't he just leading his team down the golden path at the moment? 6 wins in a row. How you feeling?
It's a good feeling. Winning games of footy is a good experience. It's a lot better than losing. So we still got a lot of footy left to play, but we're in some good form, which is good.
Slow start to the year, but you take on Subiaco, who are at the top of the tree. So a good opportunity to test and measure where you're really at.
Yeah, obviously I think we were 1-3 and sitting eighth after the first four, and we've obviously hit some good form now. We played Subi earlier, and I was talking to Tyler Keitel earlier in the week, and he mentioned that we were a completely different side, with a lot of players who, aren't playing at the moment. So I think it's exciting this week. Completely different look for them, different look for us. And we were pretty close to getting them last time, obviously led by a bit, but them kicking away late in the fourth. So I think we're a sniff to get them this week.
Let's talk about Tyler Keitel. He's been having a good season, but 7 goals, 20 disposals he had on the weekend. And I'm always having discussions with our producer, Jimmy Williams. He's always throwing him up as
a West Perth fan.
Yeah, he's a big West Perth fan, loves him, but reckons he should get drafted, and he's good enough to get drafted. What's your opinion? You've been around him for a long time. You see him up close and personal every week.
Jimmy Williams is a very smart man, so remember that. He knows what he's talking about. Look, I say it too. I think Tyler's a superstar. You have 11 shots on goal. The knock on him's probably been his accuracy in front of goal, and I think he's improved that a fair bit since his younger days. Obviously, kick 7-4 on the weekends, not great. You kick 7 is enough, in my opinion. So he's a perfect sort of mid-season draft guy. Team needs a key forward. Who's in a winning position. He has scoring shots, and that's all you can ask for from those big guys. So he's unbelievable.
You've just described a perfect AFL player, because I don't know if you've seen lately, but it's the worst kicking on goal for 150 years. So he'd fit in perfect, mate. None of them can kick goals at the moment. So that's something that's not a problem, because every player in the competition's just about got the same problem.
Because we work harder than they used to, right?
Well, yeah, the thing is, I suppose, is that you've got a lot less time too. And I don't know about you, Blackie, but I want to know this for sure, because I've been watching this stand rule. Right now, with this stand rule, blokes are actually not kicking over the mark anymore. They're actually running around and trying to kick around the corner, trying to get their couple of extra metres. And I don't reckon it's doing them any good. So the old routine of going back, kicking straight over the man on the mark and picking out a target behind seems to have gone out the window.
You know what? You're probably right. I think guys like me who struggle kicking it over 30 metres, we definitely do it. I'm always looking to gain an extra 5. But it doesn't surprise me. It's almost like Lance Franklin was ahead of his time, because he was doing it, 10 years ago or whatever. But I think players are just looking for any way to get an advantage. The stand rule doesn't help you defensively. And I guess we're trying to find ways to be more attacking against it. But you almost don't have to, because it allows you to kick around them without needing to sort of run around. But I don't know. Maybe it's having the opposite effect of what they really wanted it to. So it'd be interesting to see if that's something that they keep on.
Hey, Blackie, I think I've realised why you've won 6 in a row. You've got Matthew Lloyd playing for you.
He's a superstar, Matthew Lloyd.
Is he? Tell us more about this kid.
Look, he's comes from a good footy family. Obviously, his brother's Jake playing at Sydney, and he's been playing some really good footy. He's only a kid. He's only, you know, 19, 20, I think. So maybe 20 now. But he runs off half back. He's a good size. He'd be 6'2". You know, smart decision maker. Uses the ball well. So, you know, he struggled to get in the side last year and wanted to improve parts of his game. And he's really cemented a spot while a couple of the senior players have missed most of the season. He's been playing some good footy.
At the other end of the spectrum is a guy that I play an annual cricket game with, Jason Selisich. I couldn't believe it when I heard he was going to come back to your team. He's had some injury concerns, but he was back into the team on the weekend. What has he brought to the team this season?
Obviously, a wealth of experience, lads. look, I actually, you know, we had a pretty big chat as a leadership group with Jace and the coaching staff at the start of the year about, you know, what he wanted to get out of it, what he was going to bring to the club. And he just wanted to be back in the club environment, you know, give it a really good crack at playing senior footy. And for him to play, I think he's played 3 games now in a season after 8 years off. And, you know, hold his own. He gives us great leadership, great communication, set up and structure. He's a selfless worker. You know, he's come into the side to make others better. And I think for someone in his position, that's all we can ask for. And it's a great attribute to have at a footy club, a guy that just wants to play to make the kids around him better and the players around him better. So early on in the season when he came in, I think we struggled for a little bit of leadership in that moment, and came in at the perfect time where he was bringing all of those things. So, you know, a massive credit to him for putting in the work that he's put in. And don't get me wrong, people might look in and think, oh, he's Jason Selisich, he's just going to get a game. But he came back with a clean slate, no name. He had to work his butt off to put himself in a position to play, and that's exactly what he's done.
The other feather in your cap should be about Connor West, because you lost one of your best midfielders, didn't you, going to the West Coast Eagles, and you would be rapt to see him playing so well once he got his opportunity.
Yeah, I don't think there's a more exciting experience than watching a guy you play with for a couple of years, and even in the same season, and then 3-4 weeks later he's playing AFL footy. So just for him, again, he's another kid who just worked his tail off in all aspects and all areas that he needed to improve on. And it just sort of, you know, it would obviously benefited him, but his improvement from year to year over his first 3 years at the footy club were outstanding. And, you know, we're really happy for him, and I'm rapt for him that he's playing AFL footy, and he's playing some really good footy too.
I'll tell you what, it certainly makes a few of those others that were sitting there on the list start to question where they're at when a bloke gets picked from the outside and he's getting a game ahead of him. So well done. Yeah, you're exactly right, getting your opportunity. So Subi belt South Fremantle on Sunday, and you give Peel Thunder a good old-fashioned flogging, and you reckon you can roll the mob that are sitting on top. You're sitting in third place. Big game. Top two's up for grabs.
Putting words in my mouth saying we're going to roll them. but if we play well enough, you never know. I think the biggest thing for us the last 6 weeks have been our starts. You know, we put ourselves in great positions going into fourth quarters. So that's what we need to do. That's what we did last time against them. We're just hoping this time that, you know, we're able to complete 4 quarters of footy and finish the game really strongly. And we're looking forward to it. They're still a great side. Obviously, the benchmark being on top right now. But, you know, we're up for the challenge this week.
Will Blake Wilhelm and also Trent Manzoni be available?
No comment. look, I'm actually not too sure. I had a bit of a chat with Joff about that. You know, I'm not too sure about what Jeff's going to do. I think they'd be amazing to come back and play this week. We'd love to have them back just with what they bring off half back. It might be something that Jeff looks to do just to swing things around a bit, but we've also been in some pretty good form and they've missed large chunks of time. So it could be, you know, get some managed minutes in the twos this week and they're back next week. I'm not too sure.
Blackie, big meeting happening as we spoke tonight with the West Australian Football Commission, meeting with all of the club CEOs. One of the ideas that's been put forward to finish the season and play the grand final on the 19th of September, and that would mean if we play it the whole season, that it would mean it maybe has to be extended for a couple of weeks and play your grand final after the AFL grand final, and that, by the sounds of it, is not most desirable. So get rid of round 13, don't play it. And then maybe, to shorten the final series, get rid of one of the teams that are sitting currently inside the top five. So Swans, at the moment, are the ones that are most vulnerable. But it could be you. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, look, it's pretty tough. I think, you know, I've been around long enough to kind of understand that there's absolutely zero that we can do about it as players right at this minute. So whatever happens kind of happens. And I guess you have to swallow it and deal with it. So I think we're in a much better position than Swan Districts at the moment, obviously. So I'm pretty comfortable with where we're sitting. And for me personally, the more games, the merrier, because the more games that we play, the more that put a tally next to my name, which is always a good thing. I like to play a fair few more. So if we can add them on the end of the season, I'm not worried.
All right. Good on you, mate. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Take care and look forward to seeing you in action on the weekend against the Lions. Cheers.
No worries, fellas. Thanks very much.
Good on you. Aaron Black there, the captain of the West Perth Footy Club, doing a great job for the 7-seat Kia Sorento, which has just been crowned the drive car of the year. Hayes, let's have a look at our tips for the big games. At Leederville Oval, it is a Subiaco taking on West Perth, their former home ground, of course.
West Perth.
Subiaco for me. Peel Thunder and South Fremantle.
South Fremantle to bounce back. They were poor.
Yeah, they were, weren't they? That's at David Gray's Arena. And obviously only Reece Conker, who has, of course, sat out of the Freo Dockers lockdown, which is something that we spoke about earlier on in the program. Perth and West Coast.
Well, West Coast.
Yeah, me too. West Coast. Perth.
Disappointing well, after Perth last should be year's better. Final series.
It's both their home ground, Mineral Resources Park.
Got
so
way
that.
Too much ahead of themselves after playing one set of finals in how long?
Yes, let's not reflect. And Sunday, standalone game, which has been regular fixture with the Waffle at Leederville Oval, a 2:10 start. To East Perth taking on Claremont.
Claremont, easy.
Claremont for me too. All right, that's our tips. We'll clear a commitment on the other side. We'll come back. We'll get into some golf with Gary Thomas. He is the CEO of Golf WA.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive car of the year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and we love Wednesdays because we jump inside the world of golf, and we love Wednesdays when West Aussies are winning for Barrow Day because little things are everything. We've gone right to the top this time. Right to the top. Gary Thomas, the Golf WA CEO. Hey, Gaz, you must be pretty proud right now. How are you?
Yeah, no, it's been a good month all round. So, yeah, we are pretty proud, and I'm sure not only here but a lot of people throughout WA and particularly Royal Fremantle have pretty chuffed with what's happened in the last couple of weeks. So it's been fantastic.
On the back of Minji Lee winning her first tournament over there at the Evian Championship, Hannah Green and Min Woo just before that as well. Do you get a bonus for all these champion winners?
Oh, well, I might just raise them up for a contract review, so I might have a chat to the press about that, Paul. So, no, it's all part of the job. So, yeah, look, we just get a thrill out of seeing these kids who obviously start at their clubs as, you know, 11, 12-year-olds, whatever they may be, and then come through our programs and obviously through then on to Golf Australia, and you see them hit the world stage and achieve what Min G's done. And as we've all been saying, we've been sort of expecting to win a major before now, but she has won one, and it's terrific to see, and I'm sure there's probably a few more to come there that she's sort of broken the shackles and finally cracked the ice.
Yeah, how important is that aspect of golf once you get one? Because she has been toiling away, she's been close, she's been building her game, but once you get one, do you think the floodgates will open?
Look, I'm not sure about floodgates because golf, as you know, is, you know, such fine margins between winning one week and not making the cut next week. We saw that with Min Woo. He won the Scottish Open and didn't make the cut of the Open the next week. So it can change so very quickly. But, you know, she's been in the top 20 in the world for a long time. It got as high as number 2 in the world. You know, the moniker that no one wants about the best player never to win a major, that's finally gone. I do think she'll win a few more. Whether she ends up being a Carrie Webb or not is another thing. But, look, she's definitely got the game to to win more majors. She, as you say, she's knocked on the door a few times. She's runner up or third in the Women's British Open a couple of years ago, and I'm sure that's a massive relief for her, and her confidence will be sky high when she tackles future majors.
Now, what about the Lee family and their prodigy, mate? Are there any more in the production line, mate? Because she's a pretty good, it's like a good racehorse, mate.
I don't want to buy shares.
There needs to be more.
Well, none that I know of, but they are a good family. Look, and the mother, Carla, gets to mention a fair bit, but the father was also a pretty handy golfer. He was also a single-figure golfer. So, it's a pretty talented family. There's no more that I'm aware of.
So, Gaz, they've come through Royal Frio into Golf WA's High Performance, then Golf Australia, supported by Richie Smith. And we spoke to Richie Smith just a week or so ago on the back of Min Woo's victory. And now we've seen Min Ji come out. And he was telling us and giving us an insight into his coaching and what he does. And he's zooming and he's having a look at their swings and analysing and... Mm. Gee, I'll tell you what. I mean, the relationship, even though he's doing it from a distance, must be one that is working very well at the moment.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, they've been with Richie from a young age, as was Hannah Green and obviously a lot of other players. Hayden Hopewell's also with Richie. And, look, he instills confidence in him. I think he keeps the techniques pretty simple. He's not overly technical. Obviously, when you get to their level, you do tinker with a few things, but... He's fairly firm with them in terms of workload and making them work hard. But he gets his message across, and he's been with them from a young age, and they obviously have great confidence in him to, as you say, in this day and age where you're overseas a lot and can't come back to Australia to tune in via Zoom or Teams or whatever medium it might be and get people analysing their swing. He can sort out a few things, you know, then and there. So it's a great relationship he's had, and he's had it with, you know, Richie started with our women's junior teams probably going back 10, 11, 12 years ago. And Min Ji and Hannah Green and Whitney Hillier was part of that as well. So there was a pretty strong team, and those girls have obviously come through with Richie and many are still with him as his coach.
Now, there's a couple of other young ladies who have been strutting their stuff locally. Madison Hinson-Tolchard. And then I think I saw her sister, and correct me if I'm wrong, recently win a tournament as well, the younger sister.
Yeah, Georgia. So Georgia won the Copper Puma Championship here in the school holidays. So, she's a pretty handy golfer as well. Yeah, and Madison did very well in the States.
I think she lost in 20 holes, didn't she? She lost in the second playoff hole, I think. I think she just lost recently, came runner-up in the second playoff hole.
Yeah, and I think she had a win in one of the NCAA tournaments four weeks ago or something like that. So she's doing very well for herself in the States at the moment as well, yeah.
So what is it about our production line here in WA? I mean, obviously we're doing things very well. How many kids, talented kids, are there that we don't know about yet that are strutting their stuff behind the scenes, not far away from maybe stepping out into the limelight?
Yeah. Look, I think we've had a very strong and proud history of developing juniors from way back. So the old Grandmaster Junior Golf Foundation started in 1979, and not long after that, most clubs undertook to run junior tournaments and was probably the first state to do a lot of that. So that sort of culture has been embedded in WA for 40 years or more now. So I think that's been a starting point, and all these junior events, most clubs still hold their, you know, like their Royal Fremantle Junior Open or Lakelands Junior Open or Gosnells Junior Open, and then Golf WA now run its junior events on top of that. So there's great opportunities for a lot of our kids to play in events when they're young. I think the next step is always a bit of the us versus them mentality, as you guys will know, have played AFL football. So there's no doubt a bit of that in there. But I think the other thing is we have such great facilities and our weather's great. So even if you can't get to a private club in your early years, we have such great public facilities like Wembley and Collier Park and Whaleback and Hammersley and the like. So there are great facilities for our kids to go and play, and it's cheap. So I think there's a whole raft of things that bring these kids out in the first place. And then, as I said, we've got a great culture of developing juniors. How many junior kids are out there that we don't know about yet or in the production line. Obviously, there'll be some, but we've got systems in place through our talent ID programs, and we have our regional club support officers out in the bush. We have links to with Shaney War, for example, down in the southwest. So we're sort of getting a handle on the kids in the regional areas. One of the things we want to do is develop that. You go back probably in the 90s, we were very strong regionally. Steve Leaney came out of Busselton, Brad White, and quite a few kids came out of Collie, and that seems to have dropped off from regional golf in the last 10 years. So we're very keen to get that up and running again and getting good quality golfers out of the regions. Connor Fuchs is one that's come out of Kalgoorlie in the last few years, so we need a few more like him. But, I think we've got a pretty good handle on who's coming through the ranks and keeping an eye on them. But as always, there's a couple that might be, slipping through the cracks that we're not aware of yet, but we'll try and find them.
Gary, did you say we've got good weather here in WA?
Generally.
Where have you been?
Inside, because it's too wet to go outside. But it is a winter sport, they say, so I don't know. But it has been pretty wet, as we all know.
And I'll just leave you on a sad note. I know it's been a few months now, but I know that for a lot in golf, given the effect and the spirit in which this man used to play golf and the way that he created an environment that was infectious in golfing circles here in Western Australia is Lindsay Stephen, mate. Haven't had a chat to you on the radio since he left us back in February, which wasn't that long ago. But the mark that he left on the game, not only around the world, but particularly here in Western Australia, is one that I personally will never forget.
Yeah, look, he was a great character, Lindsay, as we all know. Universal loved professional ranks, amateur ranks. Would talk to anyone, as you know, and talk for a long time to anyone, as you know. But he left an indelible mark, and I think, as most people say, he had enormous talent and probably could have gone even further than he did. But I think he was universally loved across all walks of the game, and no doubt is sadly missed. I was actually doing a bit of a summary of what's happened so far this year, and obviously saw that and saw, it was back in February that we lost Lindsay. So, was a shame, and he was greatly missed by a lot of people, no doubt about that.
25th of February of 2021 at age 64, too young. Hey, Gaz, nice to chat, mate. Thank you very much for your time tonight. Take care.
Pleasure, boys. Same to you. Thanks for that.
Good on you. Gary Thomas, the Golf WA CEO for Barrow Day. Don't miss out the little moments, because the little things are everything. Righto, I will update everything that has happened in sport today, including some of the great performances. If you've missed it in the Olympic Games, there's continuing action as I speak, but we'll do that after this.
Stay for Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Thanks for your company tonight. We have certainly been spoilt, I think, with the sporting action that has been broadcast into our living rooms. And what a brilliant day it was today for our Australian team at the Olympic Games, currently sitting in fifth place on the medal table. The United States have gone to the top of the tree. China, Japan, it's not Russia, they are sitting in fourth place, and Australia currently just ahead of Great Britain, Italy, Republic of Korea, the Netherlands, and Canada round out to the top 10 when it comes to the medal tally. Arguably our best Olympic day in the history on the water when it comes to our rowing crews. Two gold and two bronze, and WA rowers in the thick of the action. It was kicked off by our very own Annabelle McIntyre, stroking the women's four that crossed the line 0.34 of a second in front of the Netherlands to win gold. The floodgates opened with another gold added by the men's four and bronze in the men's quad sculls, featuring WA's Jack Cleary. Well done to you, Jack. And the women's quad scull. That was a total of four rowing medals in the space of about an hour. So a remarkable performance there. We then looked to the pool, and Ariane Titmus rewrote some history. Goes back about... I think Ian Thorpe was the last to win the 2 and 400 metre double, but they've certainly helped Australia to a very convincing status. And right now, tonight, and you have a look at what we've been able to do in the heats of the 100 freestyle. We had Emma McKeon, she was first, Kate Campbell was fourth. You then look at the women's 4x200 freestyle. There is such a bevy of very talented swimmers to pick from, but they just streeted the field a short time ago. It was unbelievable. They were were half a lap in front, and our girls will go in as raging favourites in the 4x200 freestyle relay final tomorrow. So something to look forward to. More gold coming our way. Don't worry about that. Get up early and tune in. Time now for Todd Johnson.